As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, the fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Thank you, Hunter, for reading that passage. Is familiar to many, a continuation of our series, Profound Simplicity, and how we live for Christ in a world of distraction. Last week we had talked about how our time, the enemy wants to use our time and distract us from investing our time in eternal things and kingdom things, and we talked about some traps that we can fall in that can derail us from using our time by becoming too busy, too distracted in life, to put our hands and our feet to things that are of the kingdom. This week, we're going to continue that conversation by taking a look at money and how the resource of money, Jesus talks about more than maybe anything else in the Gospels. And he gives us lesson after lesson about what it looks like to walk with Christ, to walk with Him in trust, and to invest ourselves in things of the kingdom that are eternal. So the very first thing that I think about when reflecting on this passage is really just thinking about how you have this guy that comes to Jesus, and it says that he was affluent. He was a rich young ruler. By ruler, it probably meant that he either had command of a large area or peoples, or he was a prince himself. And so, there's an interesting interaction that Jesus has immediately with him where Jesus lists off these things and he says, "I have done all of these things." So we immediately know that he was at least a good person, right? And it even says that Jesus was fond of him when he even retorted that he had done all these things. And so we have this scripture here in this example of a guy that's a good guy that comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And on the surface, we might misread this story by thinking that Jesus is saying that getting into the kingdom is about our performance. Well, okay, you've done this long list of things already, but you still need to do more, right? And so it would be easy on the surface just to interpret this scripture or lightheartedly glance past it and say, "Oh, I just need to do more to inherit eternal life," or I just need to do more to be able to be right and right standing before God. But I think that is not the message that Jesus is conveying here. I think there are several things that he's trying to communicate to us. And one of the first things that pops out is, like last week, is the point that we need to invest in the eternal. I think Jesus is taking our focus here off of the things of this world that he knows are going to perish. And he's trying to instruct this young ruler that he is going to be able to have riches in heaven that are beyond measure here if he just lay down his wealth and give it to the poor. Again, I think we would errantly read this scripture into saying, boy, Jesus wants us to take anything that we own, all of our wealth, and just give it to the poor. I don't think that is the lesson that Jesus is teaching here. I think one of the things that Jesus is saying is, you cannot have anything that stands in the way of obedience to me. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I think of Matthew 6, 19 and 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One of the things that Jesus does is he confronts in us things that are not of him and not of his kingdom. And I think that's one of the things that he's doing here with the rich young ruler, is he is saying, I want to switch the way that you're thinking about things. I want to switch the way that you have maybe lived your life or principles that you've been working under to try to understand things from my perspective, from a kingdom perspective. And one of the things that will shift our minds immediately is understanding the things that are here on earth are so temporary, and we can spin our wheels in life if we're consumed by just accumulating more, by having more, by possessing more. Jesus is saying both to the rich young ruler, but also in Matthew, right on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount, where he's giving instructions for what his kingdom looks like, he's saying, be careful that you are not putting your treasure and your heart, consequently, in things that are here, but instead shift your focus to those things that are eternal, those things that are kingdom. And so immediately out of the gate with the rich young ruler, Jesus is encouraging that we have a different lens in which we view wealth, in which we view resource, in which we view money. The second thing is stewardship versus ownership. The principle that everything that we own is ultimately God's. It's not ours. It's anything that we have is given by God, and he can take it away in a moment. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21, this is kind of a hard teaching on wealth that Jesus gives his disciples. But I want to read through it. It's a little bit of scripture. I know today's message is scripture heavy, but I think that's an okay thing. Stewardship versus ownership, Luke 12. Then he said to them, watch out, this is Jesus, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Verse 16, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. So without going further there, just to set the table. So this rich guy has a field, and this field is producing more than he can use himself. So he's got all this crop. And instead of his immediate thought being, wow, I have way more on my hands than I normally do, or that I even know what to do with. And so instead of his mind going to, Lord, it is your hand that gave me this abundance. Lord, it is by your grace that my field yielded this kind of harvest that is greater than anything that maybe I've had before or I expected, certainly in the circumstances. And so instead of him immediately consulting God, his mind went to himself. And we'll read on here. Verse 18, then he said, this is the man who owned the farm and got this yield. He then said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And when I read this, I feel personally convicted because it is very easy to want security for me and for my family. Like, that is my natural reaction to when I have an abundance of something, I think just like this guy thought. And I think, boy, now that I've got this, I can just, that's going to last me an extra 3 months or 6 months or, and I don't want to vilify that because I think that there's a scriptural principle to say, you know, the ants store away food. And so we see that throughout creation where even animals know what it's like to store up for the winter, for hibernation, for all these things, to prepare for a season of that there isn't as much resource. We see that through the Bible of examples of when there was famines and the wisdom of storing up grain to be able to withstand that season of famine. So what is Jesus teaching on here then? If this guy is used in a parable of saying, boy, I can just take it easy, I can do these things, I think that one of the errors that he makes is he's not going before the Lord with it, first and foremost. He's just immediately making an assumption that, boy, I'm just going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger silos so that I can provide for myself longer term. Why? So that I can live in comfort for a longer time period. I just don't think that's what Jesus is simply stating here. I think that it's about, Lord, with this abundance that came from you, what is my responsibility, Lord, that is right and good by you? Do you want me to give this to the poor? Am I supposed to use this in another way? Am I supposed to sell this to be able to provide for a need that somebody has in my community? That is never a question that's brought up. And so what does Jesus say in 20? But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Again, I underlined in verse 21, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Everything that we own is ultimately God's to possess. He can demand our lives today, and he could take it away today. There are times where we have abundance, and there are times when we're going to have need, and it's from God's hand that both occur. It all goes through his hands. And so we need to understand that while we steward here on earth, it is God and God alone who has ownership of all things, to include our very own lives. In thinking about both the first point of investing in the eternal and this idea of stewardship versus ownership, I was reminded of a story of a gangster in Chicago, south side of Chicago in the 1980s. There was this very famous, flamboyant gangster called William Stokes. And William Stokes, the dad, also known as Fluky Stokes, had a son, and his son's name was Willie Stokes. And Willie Stokes, like his dad, followed in footsteps, dealed drugs, had a lot of money, was very flashy with his money. In 1984, Willie got gunned down in a drug deal that went bad. His dad was distraught, William, right? Fluky Stokes was super distraught at his son's passing, and he wanted to lavish his son in his death at his funeral with just this grandiose, flamboyant funeral. So Fluky became famous for burying his son in a Cadillac with working headlights, working taillights. He put diamond rings on every single finger that he had. He stuffed $100 bills in all of his fingers. He stuffed his suit with $100 bills, and there he went down into the grave. And what a miss, right, from Flukie, knowing that he couldn't take any of that stuff with him, but yet and still, that's what he had to grasp onto, was the wealth of this world. And we know in faith that it's all fleeting, that it all goes away. And so our stewardship of God's money, we need to be mindful that, Lord, if you bring it, you can also take it away. And so is my first response, God, what do you want to do with the resource that you have given me? How do you want? And if blessing comes, Lord, thank you, first and foremost. And second, how can I use my abundance, Lord, to bless other people around me? What is your will? And maybe it's God's will that says, I want you to store this because there is going to be a season of your life that is famine. And God has put on your heart, no, this is for future ministry, and future ministry and stability either for your family or future ministry somewhere else. And so I am not anti-retirement. I am not anti-saving up, putting into mutual funds, having a savings account. I believe in all of that stuff. What I'm simply saying is I believe that it needs to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there shouldn't be anything in our lives that we reserve for ourselves or we hold on so tightly that if Jesus comes as the rightful owner and says, I want you to give this thing up, that we don't humbly yield to his lordship over our lives. And that is the crux of what I think happened with the rich young ruler. Jesus was fond of him, and he was a good guy. He did all these things, but it came up to a point where Jesus said, I want you to let go of this. And what happens? The rich young ruler goes away sad. Why? Because he had so much wealth. And we don't know actually in Scripture what happened to the rich young ruler. We don't know what happened to him, but we can suppose or we can deduct that he probably walked away and maybe walked away for good. I want to hope that, because we don't know, I want to hope for the positive, and I want to believe that at some point he was able to turn around, and I don't know if he was obedient at that point, and I don't know if God himself made that a salvation issue for this specific individual that we read about with the rich young ruler. We don't know. We'll know when we get to heaven. We'll see if he's there, and we'll see if Willie Stokes is there and if his Cadillac made it. I doubt that his Cadillac made it, but it'll be interesting to find out. The final thing, just in regards to how money can be a trap for us, like the rich young ruler, I think we need to approach our lives in faith and say, God, it's all yours. I'm not holding anything back from you. Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and he sold all he had, and he bought that field. I just think it's a heart issue for all of us. And there's things we're going to get right and there's things we're going to get wrong. I think there is a natural tendency for every single one of us to want to live in comfort, to want to live in plenty. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, that's why Jesus says it's harder for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I heard a number of sermons that quoted this scripture, and there was a commentator that had come out and said, this is actually a physical place at a city wall where there was a very short door, and so camels had to unload all of their equipment and crawl on their knees to get through the gate of the city. And that entrance was called the eye of the needle, right? So, but it turned out that was debunked. So that was never actually a thing. And that's not what the scripture intended to say or is saying. And so that's why sometimes, even if you're reading a well-known commentator, which I won't say who it is, but it is true, and he was a very respected, or maybe still is, respected commentator. Jesus is literally talking about an eye of a needle here, like a sewing needle, not some symbolic thing And Jesus uses this phrase many times. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's not impossible. Jesus is not teaching that you can't have wealth. You can have wealth, and it's by God's grace that people are given that gift. It all centers around, is it God's? Is it God's? And in my wealth, is it all under the lordship and command and ownership of Jesus? If it is, then we are taking our directions from Him. We are checking in with Him. When He does yield a crop in our lives where we have abundance, is our reaction thanksgiving? And then immediately followed by, Lord, what do you want to do with your money? How would you want to spend your money, Lord? How am I yielding to your lordship in this area of my life? And I think that Jesus, knowing human nature, knowing that we are going to have a natural disposition towards comfort and ease, just like the guy that had this crop, he said, man, now that I've got all this stuff, I can just sit back and sip margaritas on the beach in Tijuana. You know, that's not actually what the scripture says, but that's what he's saying. That is awful tempting. And it's just not the life of a disciple. A disciple brings it to God and says, Lord, it's all yours. And if by your grace, by your mercy, you are calling me to have abundance in my life, I believe and know that that is for a purpose. And that purpose may be that I may be a benefactor to those that need it at a desperate time in their lives. That may be because you are calling me to be the center and stability of a family that where there's a lot of people that need that stability in order to operate in your will for their lives. Like, God has purpose for everything. And if His purpose has allowed us to have wealth and money that opens doors and provides things, my hope and encouragement and challenge to us, me first, is saying, God, this is yours. How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to spend this resource? And if it comes down to giving it all away, if that is what you're calling me to do, I am going to hold nothing back from you, Lord. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm completely sold out to your purpose in my life. I'm completely sold out to your kingdom. And however you're going to orchestrate it, I trust you. That instead of me sitting on my pile of money, if you're calling me to give it away, God, I believe you at your word that you are going to provide for every single one of my needs, that you are going to provide for everything, God, according to your purposes, according to your goodwill. That is one thing to talk about. It's a whole other thing to live out. It's really, really difficult. I think that's why Jesus talked about it so often. And he gave so many warnings about it to us. And they weren't squishy. It wasn't gray area. Jesus was very, very clear that it is very, very difficult and almost impossible. But he also says all things are possible through God, right? With that, we are going to transition into taking communion.